I learned recently that French Guinea, which is in South America, has full like French voting rights. Like they vote for the EU Parliament. It was described as, or I heard described as, closer to like Alaska for America than like Puerto Rico. Like it is basically like an extension of France.
Fascinating.
Crazy.
Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast that did not lie to you. Are you sure? No. I'm your host, Stephen Levine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared, do you lie to me?
Constantly. But yeah, no, here's... I didn't lie to you. Wait, but here's the thing you told me that was a lie. Well, yes.
Well, fuck, I guess I did lie to you.
Okay, yeah, when you say it like that, it's very much like I lied to you. Stephen, we just did one. And here we are again. Your ears were like 3 days later, but in reality, it's like an hour later, and that's showbiz, baby.
That's showbiz, baby.
Have you heard of the Oblivion remake?
Yeah.
Dude, I am so happy with that fucking game.
Okay.
So, for those of you that don't know, this is like the, if you want to call it, prequel to Skyrim.
Yeah.
It's Elder Scrolls, a series of games. Skyrim, obviously, is the one that was like incredibly popular. Morrowind was one I've tried to pick up at times. Boy, it's inaccessible. That game is a dinosaur. But Oblivion is the game that made me sell my Wii and get an Xbox 360.
Whoa.
I played Oblivion at a friend's house, on their computer, I think. But, like, I couldn't afford a computer.
Right.
I was like, oh, I can just get an Xbox. This is on the Xbox. That game means so fucking much to me.
Mm.
And I haven't gone back to it in 15 years. Because it's just, it's old. It didn't play very well. It's one of the best remasters that I can remember in recent memory.
Have you played it?
The remaster?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, is it out?
Oh, yeah. No, they said it got teased like last week, and then on Tuesdays went, here it is, it's done.
Oh, okay.
It's out. And I was like, what?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They just shadow dropped it.
Okay.
It's fucking awesome. It has all of the same, because like Oblivion was a jank game. Like, the voice acting...
Skyrim was a jank
game. No. Not comparatively speaking.
Okay, fair.
There is so many glitches in Oblivion, and in the remaster, they removed the ones that were game-breaking, but kept the ones that gave it its character.
Okay.
So, like, there's one, and they left this in. They re-recorded the voice lines, and they had the voice actor do this again, I believe. Which was... Like, Oblivion's famous for the voice acting being terrible because they had, like, five voice actors, but everything in the game is voice acted, including, like, just, like, NPCs running into each other and having conversation. Most of the quests you get are through rumors. So you, like, talk to people and be like, rumors. But there was one, I think shopkeeper in particular, that you go down a specific dialogue tree. She says the whole line and then goes, I didn't like that take. Let me do it again. And then gives the line again. And they left the whole thing in there. And in the remaster, they left it in again.
Nice.
It's awesome. It's, dude, it's so good. It captures the spirit of what I felt like it looked like back in 2006. Like, it's upscaled. It's Unreal Engine 5. But in my mind, in 2006, that's what I was looking at. It's fucking great.
The future.
I remember there's so much. It's so funny seeing TikToks now of people being like, this secret thing in Oblivion. It's like people are writing this for a 19-year-old game that, like, the same glitch is in there or exploit, because of course it is. Also has the best DLC ever in Shivering Isles, but that's beside the point. There is a secret hidden person in... Or maybe not secret. Like, you can eventually get a quest for them, but they're really high level. You can just find them in, like, a random dungeon.
Okay.
I accidentally found them one time, and they beat my ass. I went and rolled a level 1 character that was an Argonian, which can swim underwater. They can breathe underwater. There's a quest in a town that's halfway across the map. It is a long way away, where you get the key to a well. I went and aggroed her and then ran across the entire fucking map and went into that well and kited her around underwater until she drowned so I could get her good gear.
Oh my God.
I love that game so fucking much.
I saw a meme online of a trans woman that I know of... me at the age of 15 just sitting in front of Oblivion. Nice. the nice meme, yeah. But it's a, like a little boy. And then me now, Oblivion Remaster, nice.
You have to
but
play
it's
it.
A woman, obviously. Yes. That's the joke.
It's Stephen, I cannot. The reason I didn't make it my thing to plug is because I wanted to talk about it for longer.
Sure.
I was hoping you had played it.
No. Damn. I've never played Oblivion. I've technically played Skyrim, but it never really held my attention.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I didn't have a way to play it when it first came out. And when I finally got access to it, I feel like I was in a place in my life where I just didn't have time for that kind of commitment.
In my opinion, Oblivion is a lot better. Especially the Dark Brotherhood quest lines. Oh, you get extra gear if you do them. Like, you can just run up and kill the guy and then whatever. But for all of those, you get bonuses if you do it in a specific way. Like, hey, you know, kill this guy, but don't kill his bodyguard.
Mm.
One of the Dark Brotherhood quests in that is so good, and it's a whodunit, but you're the one who did it. And so you're in a house, a locked house, where people are like, oh, it's like they're brought here as like a contest, and if you find the prize, like everyone gets out. And it's really, no, all these people are here to be killed, and you're the killer. Kill each of them individually, but don't let, you get a bonus if they don't discover that it's you.
Nice.
I cannot recommend it enough, Steven.
Jared is so happy right now.
I know it's mostly nostalgia, and I don't usually fall for nostalgia.
I will 100% admit I do.
Like, don't get me wrong, I look back on things from my childhood fondly, but if they're repackaged to me, I go, eh. That one, for some reason, is, like, load-bearing to me. Like, this is the equivalent of them redoing Pokemon for you.
They've tried many times.
Sure, but doing it, like...
But doing it good.
Yeah, doing it good. Correct. Yeah.
They will never do that. Don't worry.
Yeah, unfortunately. I love that fucking game so much,
Although,
Steven.
Technically, they did... The closest they've ever come to, like, redoing Pokemon is Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're just like, yeah, it's Pokemon, but it's different. It's open world roaming, and, like, you can attack whenever, I guess.
I would argue Let's Go Eevee or Let's Go Pikachu would be a more one-to-one comparison of taking a game from that era and remaking it in a different style.
Okay, but I didn't like that. Because they... took a core RPG game and said, what if we did it, but for people who don't actually want to play a video game?
Okay, I'd argue it's Soul Silver.
Soul Silver and Heart Gold, bangers of a Pokemon game.
That's what it is, basically.
Those are great. I mean, like, Fire Red and Leaf Green, also great.
See, Skyrim is where they introduced dynamic quests, quote-unquote, where it's like, yeah, there's a million hours of quests, but they're all generic. They're all computer-generated. Who fucking cares? Oblivion... You can stumble upon random shit, and it's always interesting because it's all handmade or, like, you know, developer made. Like, I stumbled upon a quest. One thing I'm doing right now is I'm not fast traveling. I'm just walking from place to place because you unlock the fast travel points for the cities right away.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much stuff in the overworld. So, like, I went to a town where I discovered a guy. The main quest, the first thing in the main quest was nearby. And the guy was like, hey, my sons are going to liberate the farm from goblins. It's very D&D coded, less like Skyrim. And, you know, like, will you go help them? I'm too old. I can't fight. And I went, and, like, his sons are like, yeah, we're going to do it. They got fucking butchered by these goblins.
Hope.
I killed the goblins, barely. I went back to him and was like, well, you tried. All my money now has to go to burying my sons. Sorry, sucks to suck. And I looked at the quest and was like, oh, if you do it right, you can get, like, a good amount of, like, a good weapon or whatever that's interesting. So I reloaded from before that quest. But, like, that was something I found because I asked an innkeeper about a rumor before I went to bed to level up.
Sure.
And there's another quest I got in that town where he's like, hey, I have a buddy who, when I went to this other town, he didn't recognize me, but when he's here, he does, and I don't understand why he's traveling between the two towns. And it's so obvious he has an identical twin, but the guy in this town is, like, chronically drunk, and he's like, go to that town and tell that guy to stop ruining my reputation, because I can ruin my reputation.
And I can do that better than anybody. Okay, all right.
I'm pitching you on this really hard, and all of our listeners. I kind of forgot we were recording a podcast.
He's just talking to me about this game. That's fair. I'm going to quick say what I've been playing.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to move on.
As I've been rambling for 15 minutes.
It's not 15, but boy, we're up there.
That's the kindest way you've ever told me to shut the fuck up.
No. They could probably find a better way. It's fine. Anyway, I've been playing... have you heard of Blueprints?
No. Oh, wait. Yes? Is this the one where you're like a help... Like you're a phone helpline?
No.
Okay.
So this is a newish game. I got access to it for free through PlayStation Plus.
Oh, wait.
I heard about it from the Unranked guys. It's about like you inherit a mansion.
Yes, I have heard about this.
Okay. And you get like you get the mansion, but only if you find this secret last room. And when you walk in, like every room, it's like the most board game video game I've ever played.
Betrayal at House on the Hill is how I heard it described.
It's exactly what it is. Except there's so much more than what seems like it's going. It's like if Betrayal on House on the Hill had escape room elements to it.
Yes.
So you're like learning and growing each time, but it's also a roguelike. So every time you go in, it's different.
How close are you to beating it?
Not even slightly. I've only done 2 days, so don't even remotely spoil anything.
Not spoiling anything. I just heard of one problem that I feel like I should warn you about, and hopefully they will fix. There comes a point where you have solved the puzzles, but you don't have the right rooms. Mm-hmm. And so you're just doing run after run looking for the rooms, and that has apparently frustrated many people.
Sure.
Just something to keep in mind.
And that's fair. I could see that being a problem because the roguelike nature of it, you just might not get what you need.
And usually roguelikes will give you a way to like save that progress or like, you know, it's an item that gives you the room that, like when you see this room, you also get this room, but this game doesn't seem to have that yet.
Nope.
So hopefully they add it.
Yeah. That and I've been watching sports. We got playoffs. We got NBA. We got NHL. We got NFL draft. Yeah. Nice.
Did you watch it last night?
I did.
I don't watch the draft anymore.
It's fair. Honestly, I was telling this to Michaela yesterday. I would never go to the draft because you could wait an entire night for your team to pick in like the 30th spot and then them just trade their pick away.
Yeah.
So you wasted an entire night waiting for nothing.
I mean, if you're looking at it as like a party.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's fine.
It's a great party, except it was in Green Bay this year.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, like, you'd want to go to one here in Chicago, or, like, if you're visiting Minnesota for whatever reason, mm-hmm. and, like, oh, yeah, whatever, I'll go. Eh. Are you happy with the Vikings pick? Who they pick?
They picked a left guard, so, like, something we needed.
Yeah.
It was either that or a cornerback, which we need, so.
Sure.
Honestly, whatever. I'm glad we didn't do something stupid and draft Shedeur Sanders.
Well, nobody is.
Nobody drafted Shedeur Sanders. And that kind of, I got a little bit of a delight in that because he had a full like draft house that he made. Like everything was set up for him to be this big star and ESPN was guzzling his penis all night. Like Mel Kiper could not help himself. And I get it.
The Saints, while we're recording this, the Saints took another quarterback I've never heard of in the second round.
Over Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah.
Holy hell. Okay. Well, then the NFL is way better at this than ESPN is because...
Shocking.
They could not stop talking about Shedeur Sanders. I did not care, even slightly. And, like, I get it. Dion, you all know Dion, but, like,
yeah, we are
stop.
Currently, while recording, we are past round 3, pick 5, and Shedeur Sanders still has not been picked.
I feel bad for him because he's getting hyped up, and I don't think, well, I think it's partially his fault, but the name really did him a disservice.
His dad was his fucking coach.
Yes.
Yeah, no, the Saints, with round 2, pick 8, took Tyler Shoal. Shough.
Never heard of him.
Me either.
Cool. Anyway.
Hilarious.
Good on you, NFL. You didn't fall for it again.
There's always one quarterback that every year, like it was Malik Willis a couple years ago, where it was like, oh, this guy, he's come out of nowhere, he's climbing, and then they don't get drafted. Or they get drafted, but like it, like not in the first round like everyone's predicting. I thought the same thing was happening with, what's the mayonnaise guy?
Will Levis.
Will Levis. Where I was like, surely nobody's going to take him for a while. Oh.
It's the Titans. They make mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
But you know what's not a mistake? emails. If you want to email us, feel free to do so, survivortbt@gmail.com, or you can message us on Reddit, u/survivortbt, or on Patreon. You can follow us there. Wow, we're almost at the end of a season, and I just want to thank you all. Like, thanks everyone who follows us on Patreon. I won't give the full list until the final episode, but I appreciate you all.
I think we can confirm that all the episodes will come out on time besides the Patreon episode at this point. We're doing the finale tomorrow, Steven.
We'll see about that. Anyway, from emails, first one from Josh. Josh says, final 8 episode, Randy Boot episode. Randy has said he's 90% sure the idol was fake, but played it anyway.
Sure.
It's a story we've heard before. They want to make it look like he made a big dumb.
God, I don't think we'll ever have the right answer on any of those, because the editing makes it look like Randy thought it was real, but then Randy says he thought it wasn't real, but of course he's going to say that after the fact, because you then look back on it and go, well, all these signs were there. Of course it wasn't real. So, like, I don't think anybody will ever know the answer to how much Randy thought it was or was not real.
Unless we get a direct line to either Randy or the editor. Like, I don't know.
Well, and we would need Randy. We would need a direct line to Randy before he knew it was fake.
Sure.
Because with that much embarrassment, you're like, you are going to convince yourself that you thought it was fake, whether or not that's actually true.
Unless there's a full-on clip that's of Randy holding it and being like, I'm like pretty sure this is fake, but we're going to give it a shot.
But his whole plan doesn't make sense if he thinks it's fake.
I mean, well, he created his plan prior to getting the idol, before even knowing that Bob had this fake idol.
True. If that thing was Jason's stick, then I'd be like, yeah, of course he thought it was fake. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, I do think he was at least more suspicious than the show lets on, because
that's fair.
Some of the editing around his confessionals felt a little wonky. He also says his reaction shot from the idol being announced as fake was from the previous tribal council when he was shocked Charlie was blindsided.
Oh.
I can see that too.
I've never thought about the fact they could just take footage from other tribals.
They can do whatever the hell they want. Unless you're wearing different clothes.
Sure. Yeah. I've always thought, yes, they'll use shots from different parts of tribal, but I've never thought about the fact they can just use it from other tribals entirely.
Editors can get real manipulative with this.
Yeah, well, it's telling a story.
Yeah. Randy designed this app, which is given to older/sick people who live alone. If you don't reply to a notification on your phone in a set amount of time, it automatically sends you a notification to your family to check on you. Daily hello.
Okay.
That's a cool thing. I like that.
Interesting.
Sent us the picture of Randy with the puppies. It's very cute. You want to see that again? We love them puppies. Mm. That is beautiful. One trollish story I always think of when it comes to Randy is him intentionally writing the dumbest possible tweets about Big Brother because he knew those were the ones that made it into the show. I included some images about it below. Randy describes his scheme in the bottom of the first one. I'm going to read these from Randy. Oh, wait. I forget how tweets work.
What?
Because.
You good?
No.
Okay.
Because wait, which, yeah, the further down the line these are, the more recent, the further out they always work backwards from how my brain thinks they're going to work.
Okay.
Because they go reverse chronologically.
Sure.
Okay, sorry. I'm just going to read them now.
I don't remember. I haven't ever been on Twitter.
Randy, 58 minutes ago. Obviously, this wasn't 58 minutes ago. I must get a tweet shown live on Big Brother 18. Julie Chen looks beautiful tonight. 41 minutes ago. OMG, I can't believe Corey did not use the veto. 41 minutes. Their thing are going to get crazy now. 41 minutes. Big Brother is the greatest game ever. 40 minutes. James must win next HOH. 40 minutes. I love Nicole. 39 minutes. Julie Chen rocks. 35 minutes. Okay, sorry for all these lame tweets. The lamest tweets get on. Let's see if it works. Big Brother 18. Hashtag. These tweets will be deleted in 5 minutes. 31 minutes. I'm going to so miss Bridget. 30 minutes. OMG, Bridget has the round trip. I love it. 30 minutes. Here we go. 27 minutes. Oh, please, Nicole, have the hashtag care package. 24 minutes. OMFG, it worked. My lame ass tweet of the Big Brother is the greatest game ever made the fucking show. I just shit in my pants. Randy, do we have nothing better to do?
okay, I've come back around on Randy. That's all it took.
Oh, and then one other picture of, also here's Randy and Sugar sharing a passionate moment during the 10-year anniversary party.
Oh.
They're doing the, like, bend over and kiss thing.
They're kind of recreating the photo of, like, World War II ending with, like, the...
Yeah.
The sailor kissing the girl in Times Square.
Yeah.
Which was also, side note, against her consent. She talked about it many years later. She was not super happy with that moment.
And now it's a famous picture that will forever live in American history. Anyway, thank you for that. Also from Josh, we're about a month away from season 50 filming, and it seems like the cast is getting more locked in. I don't know how much Steven is following along, but some people on the list haven't played since Micronesia.
Whoa, okay.
My question is, when the cast list gets finalized and leaked, do you want to talk about the people who you would normally talk about, or do you want to wait until the cast is officially released by CBS?
It's up to you, Steven.
I think we should wait until the official list comes out. I'm okay if people want to talk rumors. Like, absolutely.
Sure.
I won't go on record and say this is who's going to be on until we get an official CBS list.
It's a bummer that some of the, you said, only Micronesia, because I was like, Michelle from Fiji, come on, come on.
I would be, I guess here's the question, do you want to talk about the people who have not played since we have seen them? If that's the case, like,
yeah,
if there's someone from Micronesia, so then we have determined that they are done.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. Okay. Be like, okay, I said at the time this person was done, actually they came back.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Cool. All right. There's your answer,
whoa,
Josh.
We're catching up to modern survivors, Stephen.
I know, right? From Carl. Carl's episode 8 email. Picture the episode. It's the argument. It's launching the slingshot. Maddie.
Launching.
Maddie and Randy getting real mad, and the hug that happened afterward. Randy winning a reward looks like Thanos after he sacrifices Gamora. We've all seen the GIF a million times, so I went for something else.
Yeah, nice. That's fair.
Great. Notes.
The gif's good, though.
It's a good gif. I'd be surprised if this hasn't been sent yet, but Kenny had apparently been using the word gay a lot. Okay, so there we go. And Randy apparently told Charlie that Ken had been referring to Charlie as homo.
Yeah.
And the F word every now and again throughout Gabon. Here's his statement on it from a stream he did. All right. Here's the thing with Charlie. When Charlie and I met for the first time, I think Randy came over. I don't know what happened, but somebody was spreading rumors that I was against gays or something like that. So when Charlie came over, I guess he was intimidated by me, but I use gay because just I'm a gamer, so I use the term gay. Oh, probably is derogatory.
Yeah, being like, that shit's gay, bro.
Yeah. So when people say, when they say something and I go, oh, that's so gay. Again, I'm reading this. I'm just, this. Clip these it. Are my words.
Clip it.
You know, but I don't mean it as in, like, in a homophobic way, you know? That's just how people say things in the gamer community. You just say, oh, that's...
Yeah, we love hand-waving your bigotry by saying, that's just how it is.
Yeah. So I guess they misinterpreted it wrong?
No.
They thought I was against... Oh, my God. Against homos? So then when Charlie came and he sat next to me...
Well, Charlie didn't come because Marcus was gone.
He sat next to me. He's like, I know you don't like gays. I'm like, what? Wait a minute, Charlie. I'm sorry. This is like verbatim. This is.
Yeah, no, I can hear this in Kenny's voice, actually. The way that he talks in confessionals, like, this makes a lot of sense.
Where'd you hear that from and all this stuff? So that's where it started from. And I had, and since the first time I met Charlie and he got voted off, the first time I met him on that day, I had to say that just to make sure that he knew that I voted him off because I wasn't against gays or anything, you know? So that's where it started from, I guess. But it's just missing. I say things like, oh, that's okay all the time. It's just, that's how I grew up. I'm a gamer. I'm sorry if that offends any of you guys. Holy hell.
The gamer doth protest too much.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
A good rule of thumb, just in general,
mm-hmm.
if you're saying like, no, that's just how we talk, replace the word you're saying with the word like Jewish and see if you sound like an anti-Semite. And if that's the case, you should probably stop.
Should maybe not say those things.
Yeah.
That's...
Listen, it's not a problem. All my friends are bigots. That's just the community I'm in.
Oh, my
I'm sorry
God.
If that offends you.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'm going to cruise through this last email and then we're caught up for right now because our next one's finale. I'm sure we're going to have tons more emails for our bonus episode. Anyway, from Josh, Final 7 Corinne Boot episode. As you will see in the reunion, Corinne was absolutely not a favorite. Production wanted her for Heroes vs. Villains, but she declined due to work obligations.
Oh.
Danielle from Panama was...
That's crazy, because Natalie's in Heroes vs. Villains, right? Or was she an alternate?
She was an alternate.
I would much rather have Natalie than Corinne, and it's not particularly close.
I agree. Danielle from Panama was brought in as her replacement. Fans vs. Favorites 2 was the next time she could make it on, and so they just brought her back, even if she doesn't technically fit the theme of the season.
I also love that last episode I said she's a favorite, and this email seems to be refuting that despite the fact that we're recording this before that episode has been released.
Fair.
Carl can read our minds.
This is Josh.
Josh can read our minds.
Yeah. A lot of people remember Sugar's iconic voting confessional for Randy. However, she did do a similar style one for Corinne that was only included in the extended voting confessionals that I wanted to share. Sugar voted for Corinne. You are a nasty, negative, alcoholic, silicone-enhanced gold digger. You should do really well in LA.
Oh,
good game,
God.
But not good enough.
Dear God, Sugar. Okay.
Damn. Between dating Amber and Jenna Maraska, Ethan also dated Corinne way before she even ever made it on Survivor.
Oh, interesting.
He was apparently advised to keep it quiet by his agent because being a single guy who would make him more popular. He dumped her to be with Jenna Maraska, and depending on who you ask, there may have been some cheating going on.
Yeah.
Questions. Jenna and Corinne have been particularly nasty to each other over the years due to the whole scenario. Oh my God. Also, if you look on Corinne's LinkedIn page, she says she got $45,000 for her 7th place finish.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
All right. We'll take that. Why would you put that on your LinkedIn page?
Yeah. I don't know. But hey, glad to hear it.
Fascinating. Okay. I do have one more email. This is a Reddit message from Bro My God. Gonna start dating my emails. This is 425. Gonna start dating my emails so they don't get accidentally missed. Completely forgot I suggested Amazing Race 7. Looked it up on Wikipedia for it and then remembered why I did that. Really enjoying the show. Again, it's fun to hear the perspective of someone who's never watched the show and makes their own predictions. Looking forward to the next few seasons. I think Jared will really have fun with those. Also in regards to the funky schedule coming up, I'm surprised you guys don't take some time off between seasons. You deserve it, and I'm assuming the listeners aren't either. I'm assuming that's what we meant. Can I add my Chicago Fire shot to the spin wheel, or what's the amount left that I need to donate? Because I just got a new job with a decent pay bump, so I'll throw a decent donation to Survivor TBT's name to the charity of your choice. So here's the thing.
You want us to review Chicago Fire?
No, the shot that we were...
Oh!
Remember
yes,
we were raising
that's
money?
That's right. I forgot.
So here's the thing. We made it halfway to the shot. We got $25. I'm going to put this out there one last time. As of right now, we are going to do one shot. However, if we get $25 more, we will both do a shot.
Yeah, right now it's just me doing it, I guess.
It's one of us. We haven't determined which.
That's true. I'm a glutton for punishment.
That is fair. Maybe I should just let you do it. No.
We'll roll a die.
We'll do something fun. So there you go. I'll put the links in the description one more time. If you want to donate some money, doesn't have to be $25. We'll put it towards doing the shot. And we'll put the video of this on the Patreon.
Yeah.
So enjoy that. Also adding to my previous email, if you're looking for Patreon things you could do, you could always do game nights on Marvel Rivals or a different game that allows larger parties since both of you seem to enjoy video games. I do like that. I'd suggest Diablo 4, but I don't know how many people can be in a party at once. Maybe 8?
Yeah, I don't either.
And in regard to previous episode where Jared question mark, mentions the worst tribe name. There are a few future seasons that would like to have a word with you. No spoilers yet, but you'll know when you get there. Oh, there is one that is iconically bad.
I think No Bag is the worst so far in the first 17.
There is one that you're going to be so mad at.
Okay.
And I cannot wait for it. And it's my first week back at work after 8 weeks of unemployment, so it's 5:45 a.m. and I'm at the gym, so my excuse for long messages and possible spelling slash grammar mistakes. Another thought, because the pre-workout is kicking in. I love this. You should do something for the community after season 19 to celebrate making it halfway through the seasons. Halfway to 40.
Halfway to the end of Survivor's first arc.
Damn. We're really cruising here.
Yeah, we'll be there a little. We'll be 3.5 years in when we get there.
Okay, a lot of emails. Thank you all for putting up with me. Thank you for writing in.
I just want to say too, like, we don't take a break between seasons because I really enjoy doing this. Like, we don't get to record for 2 weeks, Steven, and I'm kind of fucking bummed. You had to cancel on Wednesday, and I was sad about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. You had your life. We have our lives. But I was like, I enjoy doing this, so yeah. It's like, I don't know.
I like having it on a routine,
yeah.
So we can do it, and then if things get knocked off routine, like me going on vacation for some reason, us getting in shows, doing things,
yep.
Then I feel less bad about it than if we took like a month break between seasons.
Nah, we're here till we die.
We're cruising, and we do take a week break between seasons. So if nothing else, that gives us a chance to reset the brain and dive back into another season.
Yes, I feel like that's very important.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not worried about like burnout or anything like that because it's very casual and it's an excuse to hang out with Steven.
Yeah,
for you to have me in your condo twice a week, every week, if not more.
Bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on controversy.
Yeah, that's true. We fought about this a little bit.
Yeah, before recording, Steve and I argued about this because Paramount says that this came out on December 14th of 2008. The same day as the finale?
Ain't no way.
And if you remember earlier in the season, I was like, oh, there was a random 2 weeks between episodes here. According to the Survivor Wiki, which Steven was on, not me, it says that there was not 2 weeks between those episodes. So all of the information from before this could have been off by a week. It is entirely unclear. But I was going by what Paramount said, a notoriously bad app.
I was like, you're
going
to trust Paramount on this one?
No, but it's the only resource I have.
Sure.
Because I can't go Googling things about the season we're watching. So really, there was only one thing I pulled in the 3 days before last episode to this episode that Paramount Plus said, which was honestly kind of a famous one. President George W. Bush gets a shoe thrown at him.
I do remember this.
Makes his fourth and final trip to Iraq as president and is almost struck by two shoes thrown at him by Iraqi journalist Muntadir al-Zadi, maybe, during a farewell conference in Baghdad. Doing a farewell conference of the country you invaded by mistake?
That is a choice.
That is a choice. The number one song on the charts went back to Live Your Life by T.I.
Why not?
Which is crazy because I don't know what song that is, but I know all the single ladies.
Just live your life. Hey.
Sure.
Because it's the one featuring Rihanna.
The top five movies are Australia, Twilight, Bolt, Four Christmases, and then number one, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Steven, are you familiar with The Day the Earth Stood Still?
No.
Klaatu, Keanu Reeves, an extraterrestrial visitor to planet Earth, becomes the herald of upheaval on a global scale. It's a common, a weird spot there. As the world's governments and scientists race to understand what is happening and how to stop it, Dr. Helen Benson, Jennifer Connelly, and her stepson come to understand the chilling ramification behind Klaatu's statement that he is a friend to the Earth. Steven, what do you think is rated on Rotten Tomatoes?
This sounds awful. This sounds not good.
That what was missing from that synopsis, Steven?
Any kind of plot?
Action?
Yeah, something going on?
Anything besides
Keanu Reeves being an alien
yeah.
and Jennifer Connelly, who is very attractive, just being there, I guess.
Yeah. What do you think it's rated? I could be misleading you.
You could be. I don't think you are. Critic score of... How bad do I want to make this? Critic score of 18. Audience score of 23.
You're pretty close. Oh. Critic score 21. Audience score 27.
Wow.
You're right in the fucking ballpark. Heavy on special effects, but without a coherent story at its base, The Day the Earth Stood Still is subpar reimagining of the 1951 science fiction classic.
There it is.
I didn't think, I was like, that name's so familiar. It's a 1950s movie. Yeah, without a plot. That synopsis had no plot in it.
No. Sometimes we make movies just to make movies.
Yep.
And that doesn't make sense to me.
Ask the Disney live actions.
Yeah. That's the biggest perpetrator of this.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop making them.
That Please, being, for the love of God.
That being said, I feel like the only ones who... If you were to make a Disney live action movie, like you could pick one of them, which would you do?
Ooh. I mean, I wouldn't do any of them.
Right.
But if I had to do one of them, I don't know, I guess like Snow White?
Mm. Well, they just did that. That's
yeah,
out right
they
now.
Did it poorly, but I do it better than that, hopefully. What are you thinking? What am I missing here?
No, you're not wrong. I think the correct answer is, unfortunately, the one they've already done, The Lion King.
I think that's the worst one to do.
It's
not live action. It's still animated.
I agree, but to do it, what they already did, and like update it, like HDify it, that's fine. I don't necessarily care for it. They'd be better off doing a shot-for-shot remake.
Maybe Aladdin could be interesting.
They did that.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, but if they did it good.
Here's what I want. Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Ooh, interesting.
I think that would be fantastic.
Fantastic.
Theoretically, Mulan should have been great, but they fucked that up.
They did a live-action Mulan?
Yeah.
Wow. I really have memory of these.
They shot a lot of the movie in a place where there were atrocities in actual China.
Oh, it was in Wuhan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This podcast is now banned in China.
Hey.
I want to shout out our one listener, by the way, who's been with us the entire time, who listens from Moscow. I'm surprised you can get this in Moscow.
Hey, whatever, man.
Literally since like day one.
Putin hasn't stopped us yet.
That's our registered KGB agent.
Putin on the Ritz. Okay, anything else?
No.
Then let us get into the episode. Episode 12, The Good Guys Should Win in the End.
What is Sugar doing?
I love it. She's just going on vibes.
Agent of chaos.
Who needs any sort of strategy or like through line? I just want to be with people who are nice to me.
I like to be very careful when I mention that women are emotional because of the historical thing of that. Like, honestly, in my, like, most people I've seen in my life, men are way more emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just look at it differently. Oh,
Maddie, also emotional in this.
Yo, Maddie's super emotional. Sugar is going entirely off of emotion.
Yeah.
She's just going off how many people make her feel.
I like that. I dull vibes.
I don't know if I like it, but it is interesting. And she's been to be a power broker through the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar has been in the power position almost the entire season. And to be doing that successfully while making your decisions entirely on emotion is weird, man. Because usually that should bite you in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't.
Honestly, Sugar was exactly what this season needed.
I kind of agree.
Because if you have this season with no Sugar, then everything goes according to plan. The people in power win. They take it out, and it's just by the book Survivor. Sugar throws in this chaos of like, you know what? This time, I agree with what Ken said, and he may have tricked me. Oh, no. Now I hate Ken because he lied to me. Let's flip everything around and let's just go off of who I feel like has wronged me last.
or wronged somebody else.
Yeah.
It's insane. This season is a gas leak. This season feels like everyone except for Sugar is suffering the effects of a CO2 gas leak.
Is this a Community episode?
Kind of, actually. There's a season that was not written by Dan Harmon, who is also not a great guy, but it's not a good season, and like a lot of characters acted very differently from how they normally would, so it got deemed the gas leak season, where like, oh, there's a gas leak in the community college.
Maybe that's why season. I've heard you say that.
Yeah. This is the gas leak season of Survivor. Like, okay. People are just behaving so oddly. And I kind of mentioned it last episode, like Sugar sitting in tribal being like, everyone around me is crazy. Every tribal.
Is she wrong?
No. No. And she's the only one that has a gas mask.
Oh.
And then Susie's also there.
Yeah. I kept thinking that like, oh, surely Susie's going to get more screen time at some point here.
Nope.
No. She's just
goating it up.
She's just there. At least this time she did get some sort of some semblance.
Necessity.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she's on exile. Cool. All right, let's show some Susie.
And it's so funny because when we do get little clips of her, either like in a one-on-one talk with people or in tribal or the rare confessional, she thinks she's playing so hard. She's like, I have all these things to think about. And it's like, Susie girl, nobody cares. Nobody cares.
And to give Susie credit, she also absolutely flipped the table of this game at one point.
Yeah.
So we're partially at Susie's whim.
But even in the episodes where she controlled the game, nobody cared. The episode that she controlled it wasn't even about her still.
Oh, Susie.
We're getting ahead of ourselves, but like, dear God. This season's such a mess.
Mm-hmm. So at the beginning of this episode, Maddie is pissed. Like, Kenny, the fuck, man?
I can't believe we found our first randomly generated season.
It's AI.
Remember that thing I told, like, years ago where I told you about somebody made an AI-generated Seinfeld show that just, the show about nothing that went on forever?
Yep.
That's what this season is. It's just completely AI-generated gibberish. Conversation is different.
Jared, I think we found a bonus episode. AI makes a Survivor season.
Oh. Oh, no. That could be interesting.
It could be interesting, or it could be absolute garbage.
I hate AI, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, anyway. Maddie's pissed at Kenny for throwing a vote.
He knew it was him right away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was no question if it was Crystal, Susie, or Sugar. Nope, it's Maddie.
He kind of goes from a, hey, we're all working together, and then we get one vote, and he's like, you guys have always been against me this whole time.
It's one vote, dude.
It's night and day.
It's kind of crazy. Like, I know that Maddie's not suffered the repercussions of this, but he probably should have. Like, crashing out over you getting a vote you weren't expecting is kind of nuts. And where is all this animosity towards Crystal as well, who does not vote for him, and Kenny, where he's like, I've hated them the entire season. I don't like these people. I've wanted them gone from day one. And I'm like, that's not what I've seen.
I agree. Ken talks about how he's been calling the shots. I call this out because it's really funny. Of, I've been calling the shots. I've been the mastermind. And then the next scene is Maddie saying, he's playing the game. He's the mastermind. And I'm like, well, I guess at least
they're on the same page.
At least you're all agreeing on this. Cool. And
which was, this season is a little, I do like the how we got there, not the where we get to, but it is just a little too much. Where like, I knew this vote wasn't going to go Kenny's way from this scene, because it leans so heavily into like the, I'm the mastermind, I'm perfect, I'm running the game. And I was like, so you're not going to run the game in this episode, because we wouldn't be getting this early.
But like 9 out of 10 times, that usually indicates he's going home, and he didn't go home.
That's true.
And again, Sugar going solely on vibes. Maddie's got to go. We got to get rid of him. And Crystal saying, I regret not putting Maddie's name down because that should have happened last night and might have been the biggest mistake I made in this game.
What a weird reversal. I don't know. I don't think it's a mistake. I mean, she gets her sent home. But, like, Corinne would have voted the same way Maddie did. So, okay.
I think flipping it back to the last episode, them both, Ken and Crystal not voting in tandem, I think that was the mistake.
Maybe.
You either both vote together and then suddenly the game is very different because Maddie's gone, or you both stay the same and we keep the status quo and no one is any the wiser.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. It's interesting. I also don't know why Crystal went home instead of Kenny, but...
That's a good question.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So then Ken pulls Bob aside. Hey, Bob, did you lie to me?
No.
Then why didn't Corinne play the idol?
Because it was a fake.
So you lied?
No.
Yeah.
Yes. It's literally the scene of like SpongeBob of Patrick with the ID. Sir, you dropped your wallet.
That's not mine.
But what? This is your ID.
Yeah.
But it.
Yeah, I got it from this wallet.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So this is your wallet.
No.
Never seen it before. It's so funny and so silly.
It's so dumb.
Like how fast we are caught in our lies and we just admit to it. You know what? Bob would have it no other way.
Is that the only lie Bob stole this entire game?
I mean,
by
the end of this episode, he's told multiple.
Kind of.
Because right here, he goes, you know what? You're right. I'll give you my idol if I win immunity next. I want to be a man of my word.
Well, and he tells us, he's like, because I have so much integrity, Kenny believes me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't plan on giving the idol. But then he kind of has an out with Kenny where he says, like, if I think that you're going home, I'll give you the necklace. And that might be the reason Crystal goes home.
Yes.
Bob might basically say, like, I am not writing down Kenny's name because that's going to screw me over. So I'm writing Crystal's name down, and that would not be enough. Or I guess it would be enough votes, but yeah.
No, you've 100% jumped to where I was going. And
yeah.
Crystal goes home because Bob doesn't want to upend his word even more than he already did.
Because that burns two votes on the jury, just in case.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Bob can win this fucking game, man.
Oh.
Bob might win this game.
Mm. Reward challenge. We are racing through a cargo net and go ahead.
No, there's one other thing I want to say about Kenny in that conversation, or in the confessional, where he's like, he says almost verbatim, like, that's what I get for being a nice guy. And I was like, oh,
the cringe. Oh, we found it.
That's some incel fucking.
I'm such a nice guy.
Incel shit.
Oh, God. Jared. Ladies just don't like me because I'm such a nice guy.
God.
Jared.
Well, thank God you married somebody that's not a lady.
Oh.
They're a lady.
they them confuses my parents.
Yeah.
It's fine.
They them's the rules.
They them's the rules. Oh, well. Anyway, reward challenge. We're racing through a cargo net and other obstacles.
I'm sorry. They them confuses my parents in that tone. I'm glad we got that on mic. That will live in my head forever.
Can I talk about the reward challenge?
Yeah, that's fine.
Shoot.
Third time's the charm.
We're shooting basketball. It's fun. But we got to go through a swamp and cargo net and other things.
Have I broken you?
Maybe.
Okay.
No. Life has broken me.
Yeah.
If you win this, you are flown via helicopter to a gorilla sanctuary where you get a nice meal, you get to sleep in a bed and shower. And also you get to send one person to exile.
When you say it like that, the last one just sounds like a thumb in the eye.
Yeah. So right from the get-go, I wrote down, Maddie runs like an excited toddler.
I said he runs like a titan. Like Attack on Titan.
I see what you're saying.
Required watching to understand my references in this show. At least once per season.
I did tell you I finished that eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Bob, not running very fast. He's just going slow and steady.
One could say walking.
He does a little bit of that. But he's so good at the basketball portion that he wins this.
Yeah. Slow and steady.
Jared, none of the ladies make a single basket.
No, they don't, Steven.
That's rough.
Crystal's really bad at Survivor. At least the challenges. She even tries to dunk at the end.
To cap it off, she tries to dunk.
And also fails at that.
That's honestly, like, peak Crystal.
And I gotta say, I'm somebody that has said a lot that there's many different types of strength and many different types of people that are good at challenges. Famously, Kelly Wigglesworth was the first challenge beast ever on Survivor. And going after the women in your tribe first, just because you perceive them as not being as good at challenges, is typically a mistake. And that it's all challenges are strength-based. And they're not helping my case this season.
But
the women on this season are not helping my case to go against those gender norms. Because all of them left, and most of them on the season, have been abysmal at challenges.
Here's the problem, though. Crystal is an Olympic gold medal winner.
You would not know that.
By any means, she should be athletically set up to do well in this game.
Nobody suspects her of being an Olympic athlete at this point.
Correct.
Unlike in Guatemala, the guy who was a quarterback was like, oh, yeah, okay, I can see that. He's good at, like, Danny discovering him was, like, pushing on an open door because, like, oh, yeah, he's pretty good at this. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody had secretly found out that Crystal was an Olympic athlete, like, let's say Marcus, because he was, like, friends with her cousin.
Oh, yeah, I love track and field.
Yeah. Well, like, friends with his cousin was, like, or her cousin was, like, yeah, okay. They'd be like, no, she's not. You're a fucking idiot. There's no fucking way that girl's an Olympic athlete. Look how she's done at these challenges.
So, yeah, Bob wins this reward and chooses to take Crystal on the reward. The thought being she hadn't been on a, like, travel reward like this.
She hadn't been on any reward. She had not won a single reward in 36 days, according to her.
Rough. And also gets to take one more and takes Kenny.
I think she won, like, the betting challenge early.
Correct.
Because Fong did.
Fong won the betting challenge. Yeah. But that's not a go-to places. That's a you win something for your camp.
And then, yeah, Kenny as well, which is interesting because I think this is the right move strategically for Bob. And yet, because this season and these people are so messy, it ends up not being important at all.
I know, right? No, in a game where you're like, ah, yes, it's six people left. I need to pull two people to my side. Great. Oh, wait, never mind. I'm going with the exact opposite, and I'm going with the other three.
In a normal season with normal people, they would pull Sugar, and that would be your four, and then you go after Maddie and Susie.
Uh-huh.
But these aren't normal people.
This is not a normal circumstance, you see. Yeah.
The CO2 is too strong.
And Bob sends Susie to exile. Of all people.
Why?
I don't know.
My suspicion is he didn't want to send Sugar again because at this point he's like, that's just mean.
I agree. I think it wasn't going to be Sugar.
And maybe Maddie, he knows that, like, he'll take comfort because now at this point he's figured out Sugar has the idol. So you don't want him to have comfort for the immunity challenge.
I also think there's probably a little bit in his brain that's like, what if Sugar actually doesn't have the idol and it's still out there? I don't want to send Maddie.
I guess. Which is funny because if Bob sends Maddie, I think Maddie goes home. Because the whole reason this vote gets flipped is apparently because Crystal and Kenny were mean to Maddie, which they wouldn't have had the opportunity to do so if he was at exile.
That is correct.
So Bob did the wrong math, but got the right solution.
Hey, you know what? Whatever leads you there, that's fine.
Sure.
Oh, boy.
What the fuck is going on? What the fuck is going on?
We're just taking every moment as it comes and figuring it out later.
I feel like I'm going insane. This season has broken me. I don't feel like I understand Survivor at all anymore.
You know what? That's fair.
Where do I rank this, Steven?
You're going to have to tell me that.
What the fuck?
I'm legitimately curious because, I mean, even the winner ranking, for like, you take a shot at any of these five remaining.
No idea.
No idea where this person is going to land.
The only person I know who they would land would be Susie, which would be very low. Susie would be incredibly low.
But I don't see any of these people being...
I think Susie could be my the worst winner if she was the winner.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I don't see any of these five being one of the best.
No. But, like, on paper, Sugar could be. But then you actually look at how she came to her decisions and she shouldn't be. I don't know, man. I'm so lost.
Oh,
this is the most confused I've been in 17 seasons of doing this show.
Fair. Anyway, they get to go off on their helicopter. They have a beautiful food spread when they get there. They have charcuterie. They have drinks. Oh, those drinks looked really good. I wanted one.
They did look very good.
Yeah. And oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and that was, you know me so well. That was such a small little fit, like gesture I did, and you still knew I wanted to say something.
I've listened to you talk a lot.
That's true. Bob running the Chris strategy from Vanuatu of just be the last guy. Or last person.
Yeah.
Be the last person in your alliance. And I'm that might be the way to win this game, is just be in the minority alliance and be the last one standing from that alliance.
Just survive.
That is the name of the show.
You're right. Survive.
Dumb.
Very dumb. So yeah, they're just sitting there, they're talking. It was Kenny's first time in a helicopter. That's fun. Great. Sure. But then immediately they get to it. We want Maddie out. And Bob says, Kenny believes that I'm going to give him the immunity necklace because I have integrity. Okay.
Inside of you, there are two wolves.
Oh, go on.
Eric and Dreams. One will give you the necklace. One will not.
That's fair. That's a good way to put it. This is the third time that we've come to this communication. Yeah. So, all right.
And this is the best of those three options.
Okay.
Not giving it to him and that person not going home.
There you go. We have found the neutral route.
Yep.
They get to shower. They get fresh clothes. Apparently they laundered their clothes as well. That's nice.
And gave them dresses. I don't know what to call them. Garbs.
Cultural. Yeah. Some sort of poncho-esque looking thing.
Green looks good on Bob.
It's real bright green, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that good of a look on Bob. But Ken, way ahead of his time. Look, my dress has pockets. Good. Thank you. And then they get people from the Gorilla Project, Africa's Eden, to come and talk to them a little bit, show them around. Of course, the head of the project is a white man.
Yeah. I will say, though, of all of the gross stuff that we've done in other places, this one feels the best. It's about the animals.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm not complaining that they're made a sanctuary for gorillas, for people who, like, to protect the gorillas who have been...
Gorilla babies.
Yeah.
Who have been poached.
Yeah, their parents have been poached. Like, that is good. I'm just like, does the speaker have to be the white man? There was another man right there.
That's true.
We could let him talk. We
should have let him talk. I will say, Bob has this whole section of like, I felt like me and the gorilla had a connection, and I'm not spiritual, but like, I feel like our souls connected. And I was like, yeah, Bob, we're monkeys. Like, we're just really fancy monkeys. You probably did have a connection because you got a lot in common with that monkey because you're also a monkey. That's all.
Okay. Who's the fanciest monkey?
Probably one in a top hat. Yeah.
All right. I had nowhere for that to go. I just wanted to see what you would say.
I love when a bit's a dead end.
Yeah. Bob has a spiritual moment with this gorilla. Hooray. It was a really big silverback gorilla. And boy, they're so intimidating. When they were walking along that area by the fence, mm-hmm. and the gorilla's just like staring at them.
Yeah, but gorillas are chill. Chimpanzees are the ones you have to watch out for.
I don't think gorillas are chill, my dude.
They're so much more chill than chimpanzees.
Gorillas will kill you.
They could kill you, but they typically won't. They're way more docile than like chimpanzees and shit. I cannot wait for someone to write in and be like, Jared, actually, that's the stupidest thing you've ever said.
There's a big reason that there was a wall between the two of them.
Of course there is, because any wild animal and you should have a wall between you.
Have you seen like gorillas posture to attack and like scream. It's horrifying.
Chimpanzees will rip your arms off and beat you with them.
I at least stand a better chance of fighting a chimpanzee than I do a gorilla.
I don't think that's true, my guy.
I absolutely think that's true.
Well, okay, yes, with equal temperaments, but chimpanzees are the ones that are sociopaths.
Okay, I want to hear the audience's reaction to this. To vote, who would you rather fight, a gorilla or a chimpanzee?
New Patreon goal, we get Steven to fight a chimpanzee and a gorilla.
Oh my god. We take a moment, we go to exile, and Susie takes the comfort, of course.
Sure, why not?
She knows Sugar has the idol. There's no point in messing around with this.
First fucking person that's gone to exile that isn't Sugar that goes, yeah, Sugar's got it. She's been here 7 times.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll hang out. We'll take the fruit. Have a good time. Change it from the Sugar Shack to the Susie Shack.
Okay.
Not your best line there, Susie.
Also, you've been there once. She's been there like 7 times.
Back at camp, Maddie and Sugar. Sugar's just telling it like it is. It's you tomorrow.
Sugar's like standing up for herself. It's really nice. Like, yeah. Maddie's throwing kind of a temper tantrum, being like, well, if it's not Bob, it's going to be me. And she's like, yeah, probably.
Yeah, you're right. You better win tomorrow because I'm with those two, Kenny and Crystal.
Unless somebody says anything mean, even though I've been saying things that are kind of mean to you.
Maddie says, I think you're the evil three, or you have the chance to be the evil three. You're safe. You have the idol. You should give it to me. Just him throwing a dart at a random dartboard blindfolded.
And her in the confessional saying, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And also, Maddie throws this whole fix. He's like, he picked Crystal and Kenny because I want to be on a reward. And like, it's not fair. And like, just pick them for the votes. And it's like, she goes, Maddie, we were just on a good reward.
Mm-hmm.
They should go. She's so level-headed.
I get Sugar.
Until she's not.
Being the voice of reason. I love it. Yeah, he said he's on his own. Great. The reward people return. They have their queen clothes. Maddie's still crashing out a bit.
Imagine crashing out over one fucking vote.
Imagine crashing out over one cookie.
Well, yeah, that's true, too.
Kenny asks, why are you still mad at me? Maddie, you wrote my name. Crystal from the background. My name's been out 8 times. Kenny says, 7 for me. So, like, 1 time, my dude? Really?
They have a point.
They have a point.
And then Sugar says that they're punching down at him?
I don't have this note, so you're going to have to... Oh, yeah. Sorry, here it is. Maddie doesn't deserve to be yelled at. Because Crystal says, you've changed, my man. You're different. We've supported you since day one, and I don't even recognize who you are anymore.
He's not different. He's been weird the whole time.
Yeah. He's just a weird guy.
It's just being aimed at you now. Because everyone on this season is unstable.
Mm-hmm.
So, except for Susie and Sugar.
So Sugar sees them kind of like ripping into him and says, I think he's right. Like, Kenny is this meek, meager guy, and Crystal's a big bully.
Why are you worried about doing what is right rather than doing what is going to win you the game? And I say that as somebody who is like very values driven.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a game. And Sugar, you can beat Kenny and Crystal in a final three, probably. You can definitely beat Susie and Crystal in a final three. Why the fuck are you flipping? Because they yelled at Maddie over a fight that didn't make any sense, that Maddie's also been yelling and like was being a piss baby 6 hours ago in camp to you? I don't understand this.
It's kind of bonkers from a survivor standpoint.
Yeah.
From a, I don't know, I'm just vibing standpoint. Kind of get it.
Girl, there's $1 million on the line. You're at a 1 in 5 shot because she has the idol, so she's not going home.
Mm-hmm.
She gives it to Maddie, but like if she thought she was in danger, she has it for herself. You have a guaranteed 1 in 5 shot at $1 million and you're going off vibes?
Mm-hmm.
And like the last person who was mean to somebody?
Mm-hmm.
I love Sugar, but what are you doing?
I see this as a, you know what, just the place that Sugar is at in her life. Like, if she plays at a different point or, like, prior to her dad dying, I feel like this would be a very different thing.
I feel like she probably would have gone home early.
It could be right.
Although maybe not, because nobody really ever gunned for her. But I don't, it's...
Yeah, people gunned for her a little bit in the early
stages.
That's
true. It was like her or that other girl who was kind of a freak too. Season of Freaks, man.
Yeah. Season of Freaks. Yeah.
525,600 freaks.
I got that on the mind right now. I'm sorry. Yeah. So Sugar confides in Maddie and says, "You're not going. It's going to be you, me, Bob, and Sue. That's going to be our four."
Why? You lose to Bob. You probably lose to Maddie. You don't lose to Susie. Let's be real.
We're just vibing, man.
Nothing she does makes any sense, but I also kind of love it.
I love it. I love it so much. Immunity challenge. We are studying the features of a Gabonese mask, and we are going to go through obstacles to fill in these mask features on the other side. But we have to get three bags from one side to the other, one at a time. Oh, by the way, you're blindfolded. So good luck.
Sure.
And when I say this has some really funny things, this is a good challenge to go back and watch if you're not watching. Because, one, Maddie does a pretty good job, but still doesn't lock it down. He gets all three bags, and that is the correct strategy.
Yeah.
But one, Crystal, way off course.
Crystal is in other lanes. She is off the course. She's back on the course. I just can't get over the fact that she's an Olympic fucking athlete. And she's so bad at these.
An Olympic athlete does not make you good at navigating blindfold.
No, but I expect her to be good at something. And so far, she has not been good at a single type of challenge.
You're not wrong.
How is that possible, Stephen?
I
don't understand it.
I guess.
And then Susie just leaves.
Susie just goes off into a different dimension.
Susie goes back to exile. She just walks off the course. It just stumbles on back to the fucking sugar shack.
Like, Jeff is making fun of Crystal, and Crystal's kind of like taking the hints from Jeff. Susie just walks out and keeps on walking.
You think if you didn't feel a rope for a little while, you would turn the fuck around?
You're probably not anywhere close.
Yeah, Jeff says at one point that Crystal miraculously gets there, brings back the first bag because she had spent so long going between lanes at that point.
It's fantastic.
Holy shit, man.
Why does Jeff call Kenny the king? Is it because he's the king of Smash?
Maybe. There's a weird amount of, like, Kenny glazing from Jeff in this episode where he says that, and he also says, like Kenny hits his head on something, and he's like,
even the king can get injured.
Or, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that's where the king thing comes up. But he also has Kenny read, or not read, I think of Taskmaster, where he does, like, has a what, Kenny? 1 in 5 shot at $1 million, Jeff. And, we haven't really done that since, I think, Todd in China? Jeff picks favorites sometimes, and it's weird.
Yeah.
It's both weird as a viewer, and it must be weird as a contestant, because I don't want Jeff to pick me out as his favorite. That's another target on me.
I think he continues to do this, but he spreads the love, so it becomes less like he's just picking the ones he wants to talk to. He's picking someone who looks excited about it and is like, "You want to say it? Say
it." That's better. Yeah, if it wasn't just one person every so often, like, that's Jeff's tanking his threat management. I mean, Kenny's not doing a very good job of it either, to be fair, but...
Sure. Anyway, Bob wins this challenge. He and Maddie both get a check-in that are wrong, and Bob eventually gets it together.
And then we get told at the end of this challenge that 6 is the last time they can play the idol.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, in some capacity, Sugar will be playing the idol tonight. She ends up playing it for Maddie. But every other season, at least the last few seasons, has been 5. a couple scenes that were four, which was fucked up. But I guess this one's six.
Yeah, okay. Sure. It should have been five.
Should have been five.
Five is the right place to do it.
I agree.
And yeah, then Bob has to figure out what he's going to do with this necklace now, because he won it and he said he was going to give it away, but he also gave him some stipulations at the reward. So like, he has outs.
Renegotiated the deal.
Yeah. So Kenny, realizing this, trying not to give him an out, goes up to Bob. Bob, I'm scared. I feel like it's going to be me tonight, knowing fully that it's not going to be him. But I think you need to give me the necklace. And Bob, this is like a reversal of the first scene.
Yeah.
Why would they blindside you when we're voting Maddie? There's no reason to blindside you. Why don't you just talk to everyone? They'll surely back up what I'm saying.
And then goes to everyone and says, hey guys, can you tell Bob that you're going to vote for me so he'll give me the necklace?
Thanks.
Which, like, it's really easy to clown on Kenny for this. And I kind of want to. But now I remember literally last season, and this is the plan that Natalie played.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally the exact same plan of like, let's all convince them that Natalie's the one going home and that he has to give me the necklace as like a show of good faith. But Kenny doesn't realize it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So Kenny's a clown.
Yeah. It, honestly, it's not a bad move, except the vibes are very different.
Yes.
The four people who are sitting there all want to be together in Micronesia.
Yes.
Like, they do not want Eric there, clearly.
Yep.
These five people, well, I guess this four group that he's talking to, plus Crystal.
Clown show. Nobody knows what anybody else
no
wants.
No one's committed to anything. Like, no. There are no long-term deals.
Except for Crystal and Kenny.
Maddie is pissed off because he knows that he is the other answer.
Yeah, so Maddie has Susie. Susie has no personality. Sugar goes by whoever the last person to talk to her was that made her feel something.
Like, Maddie has no reason to play along with this.
No.
And Sugar's the one who breaks it because I'm sick of, like, trolling on people and making all these fake plans.
Yeah.
It's bananas.
It's such a stupid, elaborate plan. This whole season's so stupid.
So Sugar goes to Bob and is like, hey, I want to be in alliance with all the good guys. So they're trying to blindside you. Kenny, in particular, is trying to pull something on you so that you give up the necklace. So you should not do everything they say. Once again, crying. Like, this is just par for the course in this episode.
That's what she does. And, like, not derogatorily. But, like, she's an easy crier.
I get it. And Bob sitting there like, I have no reason to doubt her, but I also have no reason to trust her, so I'm not entirely sure what to do with this information.
Keep the necklace.
Keep the necklace.
If you're not sure what to do, don't give it up.
Correct. Sugar says, I will not vote for you. You're the biggest threat, and that's saying something. I just want all the good guys to win. That's it. That's all I want.
Sugar, you should want to win.
And the other thing that I see back at camp, this last scene of, hey, Ken says, hey, what happens if he doesn't give up the necklace? And Maddie from the back, yeah, then I guess I go home, huh? That's another big red flag for you, my dude.
For Kenny?
Yes.
I don't know that it is, only because they've had so many, like, they've already been arguing about this for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I would imagine there are a lot of votes that conversation has happened, that we didn't see that conversation, that then the Maddie in that conversation went home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe not specifically around the necklace, but like, yeah, it's me, I'm going home, and then they go home. But since we see it, Maddie's not going home.
And then Sugar up and lies to him, asking, like, point blank, hey, yeah, Bob's going to give you the idol. It's going to be great. He thinks we're all voting for him. And then whispers over to Maddie, stop talking. Don't say anything. Let me do the thinking.
I love that. Let me do the thinking. Ugh.
We're going to vote for Crystal, and I'm playing my idol. It's great.
It's so good.
I love...
She didn't need to play her idol.
She didn't have to.
But why not? It's the last time to play
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. And all it takes is one person doing something they're not supposed to.
Yep.
And again, in a season like this, why take
Who
the chance?
Who fucking knows?
Why take the chance?
Susie could write down fucking Jeff's name for all... like, that wouldn't be that weird for this season.
People making, like, writing down the wrong name is the funniest Survivor thing in
what
my life.
What do you mean?
Like, oh, I went in with this plan to write this name, and then I just wrote the wrong name.
Like, by mistake or by choice?
By mistake, but also... There's a situation that I'm thinking of.
Okay.
But we won't get there for a long time.
Okay.
It's pretty hilarious.
Huh.
Anyway, anything else before Tribal?
No.
Tribal happens. One, Randy has a mohawk.
Yeah, he looks like a different person.
He is a different person. He has come out on the other side clean.
Okay.
It's a Shawshank Redemption
reference. Oh, yeah, okay.
He crawled through a mile of poop. Mile of fecal matter. Came out on clean on the other side. Anyway, Bob talks about, if I don't win these challenges, I could be on the jury. It's looking real rough right now. And Kenny kind of keeps glazing him. Hey, he amazes me. He's strong. He's smart. He's agile. He's Bob.
That's, I don't know. That was kind of fun.
Maddie keeps it going. If anyone's going to dominate, I'm glad it's Bob.
Sure.
Rather him than someone of a lesser caliber.
Kenny does talk about his deal here, where he's like, he basically puts Bob on blast in front of the jury, where he says, like, because I stuck my neck out for Bob and Bob betrayed me, Bob said he'd give me immunity at the next tribal if he won it. And Bob says, like,
that's what I told him.
That's what we discussed or something, or that's what I told him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then says, like, but then we sort of amended the deal. Pray we don't not amend it further. And I would give it to him if I felt like he was threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he goes to give up immunity or not, he says, I don't feel like Kenny's in danger. I'm going to keep it for myself. Which ends up being true and is a really smart play by Bob. I don't know if Crystal was always the target or if Bob was like, no, I'm voting for Crystal because I can't do this. And that moved votes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob gets to have his cake and eat it too because he keeps his deal. Kenny was not at threat of going home.
Nope.
And he wins the vote.
Now there is the little hanging point of... They kind of discussed giving it next time.
Yeah.
So, that's true. Do you think that hangs over this next episode?
Maybe. Yeah. It'll be interesting. Because Kenny doesn't really have any power now. So, It hangs over that. Yeah. Next episode is the finale.
Yep.
But hangs over that first vote, maybe.
Sure.
Final five finale is weird. Must see a final three.
I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sugar whips out the idol, plays it for, well, one, she just takes it out and wears it because Jeff is talking about it. It's like, well, here we go. And Pom goes, I didn't make that one. I'm pretty sure that one's real.
Pretty good. And I was wondering why I'd had all this suspense around the idol.
Because
I was like, she's going to play it. Why would she not? But playing it for Maddie is plays the suspense.
Exactly. And Bob says, you know what? I don't think Ken is going home tonight, so I'm going to keep this here necklace. All the correct answers.
Yeah.
So we then vote, and
I don't remember Crystal's post-game confessional. What did she say?
She talked a little bit about, like, when I yelled at Maddie, it didn't help, and it...
I might have been writing notes. I don't usually miss them in their entirety.
She seemed pretty mellow. This wasn't the, like, I'm going off and blasting people. She was pretty, like, humble.
Okay, gotcha. Sorry, I jumped that, but...
It's okay. Corinne celebrates from the rafters. She's having a great time. Yeah. Crystal goes on a 4-2 crossed out 2 line.
Yeah, fair.
It technically doesn't count. Is that a sweep?
No, we said idols being played aren't sweeps because the votes were still cast even if they didn't count.
Heard. All right. How do you think Crystal does in Future Survivor?
I said earlier in the season, like, if she had gone home earlier, I'd be like, wasted potential. And then we got a couple episodes of her being like, really good in her strategy, but it still feels like wasted potential. Is she good at, could she be good at any challenge? I need to know if she's a good swimmer, because that feels really important to whether or not she'd be good at other seasons. because she wasn't good at any of the challenges in Gabon. And if she's a good swimmer, maybe she would be. I don't know. I almost feel like she's probably somebody that goes home pretty early most seasons because of a couple things. One, she looks like a physical threat, even if she's not. So you're probably going to try to get rid of her before the merge, just to be safe. Secondly, she does have a hard time holding her tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she got in fights she didn't need to get in. And in fact, getting in a fight with Maddie this episode over kind of nothing seems to have sent her home single-handedly. Now, most seasons don't have a sugar that's just going to change her entire alliance because somebody's being a little meaner than they should be. But not being able to hold your tongue is a really bad thing on Survivor. So I think typically she's a pre-merge vote.
Okay.
Probably where you normally see like a buff guy, honestly. Like towards the end of the tribal phase.
Well, Crystal is not coming back.
She should be coming back over Corinne.
I agree.
That's my new bar. Anytime somebody doesn't come back, be like, they should come back over Corinne.
Here's a little problem with Crystal.
Oh.
Do you know how she's a gold medal winner?
Yeah.
That gold medal does not stand today.
Oh.
So here, in 2010, the Associated Press reported that Crystal admitted to using anabolic steroids from 2001 to 2004.
Yeah.
As a result, she forfeited all of her results from that time period, thus stripped her of her gold medal.
Yikes.
That's kind of tough to bring back.
Got Armstronged.
Got real Armstronged.
Yeah.
Competed as a celebrity tribe captain in the second season of NMB Celebrity Survivor Challenge. I don't know what that is, but
okay.
See, like, it feels connected to the show still. Like, here. Oh, never mind. I was going to give a timeline here. She attended the 10-year anniversary party. 20 days later, the Associated Press report the anabolic steroids.
Okay.
That's rough.
So that explains why she didn't come back, because that would be 2010.
Mm-hmm.
This season aired in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I do want to point out that Crystal won 2 challenges and lost 19 over the course of the game. Both challenges Crystal won were in the same episode.
So do you think she would have won more challenges if she could have done steroids?
Ope. Crystal's 11 losses in tribal challenges tie her with Bobby John and Stephanie and her tribe mate, Ken. For the second most in a single season.
Okay. Well, hey, Stephanie and Bobby John came back, so.
Oh, wait. The person with the most losses in tribal challenges is Mookie.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
That's funny. Lost 22 pounds during her time in Gabon.
Okay.
She also says she has a quarantine questionnaire. She talks about her biggest regret was being so outspoken.
Steroids.
Well, maybe that too. Being so outspoken and like not being able to hold her tongue, and didn't like the edit that she got.
I would generally agree with her. The one thing I do want to say though is like, man, a lot of people seem to have problems with her. And there's people that had problems with her that I think were for, let's say, less than kosher reasons, like Randy and maybe Corinne. But Sugar and Maddie seem to have problems with her, too. And I don't know why. And they don't strike me as people that, and maybe it's just like the Kenny flipping his vote. I don't really know. It's weird because it's everyone's the hero of their own story. And I especially like to give a little more grace for people that are people being edited poorly that editors, you know, may not give as fair of a hand to, black women being a significant, you know, that being somebody that I could see being edited unfairly.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the contestants seem to not like her. It's a little bit like Eliza, actually, where it's like, if everyone around you is saying this, what's going on?
Let me put it this way. I agree with what you're saying. I also agree with what she says here at the tail end where, hey, the show should have more people of color editing this show.
Obviously.
Like, not only just being on, but being the editors of the show who can help control the narratives.
Yeah.
Because that takes away some of the ability to, like, make the
I'm trying to quote her here. I'm already an intimidating, statuesque female and that folks are intimidated by. But to add the mix of angry female with a classic stereotypical representation, it's rough.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that for sure. And especially, you know, you're coming in with so much defensive, like rightfully earned defensiveness mm-hmm. of like, these people are going to treat me differently, especially because like I look very intimidating and being black and all of that. Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting mix of things.
Yeah. Your protagonist of the episode.
The sugar. Again.
Yeah.
A lot of sugar.
A lot of sugar. Honey.
Sugar. So interesting. Such an interesting character.
What an interesting season.
What an interesting season. Fascinating. Shame that Crystal got busted for steroid use, though, because I do think it would have been interesting to see her on a future season with lessons learned.
Yeah, I agree.
Still deserved it more than Corinne, steroids or not.
Anything else?
Nah, that's all.
Bumper. That will do it for this episode of the Survivor Turn Back Time podcast. Jared, I am now realizing that you're going to have to scooter home in the dark.
Yeah, it's fine. I do it all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah. It has a headlight on it.
It's scary.
It has a headlight on
it. So scary.
We'll see. That's cold.
Yeah, that's true. It will be cold.
Yeah.
It's almost May.
It's going to be May.
It's going to be May.
This comes out in May.
It does come out in May. Oh, man. This comes out. I'll be in.
I think on May Day.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I'll be prepping to leave tomorrow for my flight.
I will be missing you.
Aw.
That's all I got going on that week.
What would you like to promote?
Well, May Day's like worker solidarity and rights. So like, yeah, worker solidarity and rights. And also Oblivion Remaster is really fucking good.
Nice. Nice.
It's really fucking good. If you have Game Pass, it's free on there. Steven, what about you?
I'm going to promote not scalping. People are scalping the Switch and the Switch 2, and I do not like scalpers.
Yeah, I bought tickets to a Will Wood concert because he's going to be here in Chicago. Concord, which is a venue here in Chicago, advertised it at $40. I can only buy it on resale for $150.
I despise scalpers.
Yep.
And I wish it was illegal, but I know that they won't because Ticketmaster does not want it to be.
It's an illegal gray area, let's say.
As long as they're reselling on Ticketmaster, like verified tickets, Ticketmaster's double dipping.
Well, yes and no. The Concord, I'm not defending Ticketmaster. Concord is not Ticketmaster.
Sure.
I think it's StubHub or something like
Same
that.
Same idea.
But like, they did have a bunch of things to verify you're not a bot. And like, reselling is important to a certain extent in case you need to, like, oh, I can't go, I need to resell it. But like,
that's fine.
It should just be maxed at the price you bought it for.
Correct. Yeah. That is the answer.
Yep.
There is no reason for it to go up in price.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucked up.
For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
For my host Steven, this is Jared.
I hate scalpers.
Yeah, I want my scalp.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The fuck?
Scalping.
I know, I got it.